I would invite you to turn in your Bibles to 2 Kings chapter 5, reading verses 1 through 14. Or in the Pew Bible, you will find that on page 323. 2 Kings 5, verses 1 through 14. Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Aram, was a great man and in high favor with his master, because by him the Lord had given victory to Aram. The man, though a mighty warrior, suffered from leprosy. Now the Arameans, on one of their raids, had taken a young girl captive from the land of Israel, and she served Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, "If only my Lord were with the prophet who is in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy." So Naaman went in and told his Lord just what the girl from the land of Israel had said. And the king of Aram said, "Go then, and I will send along a letter to the king of Israel." He went, taking with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 sets of garments. He brought the letter to the king of Israel, which read, "When this letter reaches you, know that I have sent to you my servant Naaman, that you may cure him of his leprosy." When the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his clothes and said, "Am I God to give death or life, that this man sends word to me to cure a man of his leprosy? Just look and see how he is trying to pick a quarrel with me." But when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, he sent a message to the king, "Why have you torn your clothes? Let him come to me, that he may learn that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman came with his horses and chariots and halted at the entrance of Elisha's house. Elisha sent a messenger to him, saying, "Go, wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored, and you shall be clean." But Naaman became angry and went away, saying, "I thought that for me he would surely come out and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, and would wave his hand over the spot and cure the leprosy. Are not Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean?" He turned and went away in a rage. But his servants approached and said to him, "Father, if the prophet had commanded you to do something difficult, would you not have done it? How much more when all he has said to you was, 'Wash and be clean'?" So he went down and immersed himself 7 times in the Jordan, according to the word of the man of God. His flesh was restored like the flesh of a young boy, and he was clean. The new school year has begun, with all of its excitement and its reservations. Today marks the beginning of the new Sunday school year and beginning of service for new church officers and teachers. Today's deacon meeting is the first of the year for those who are newly elected as deacons. Now, while some of these things may bring excitement and anticipation to some, others aren't all that sure. Some time back, I was reading some comments by a person who mentioned a poem by Louisa Fletcher. The poem was entitled "The Land of Beginning Again," and one of the verses of that poem reads like this: "I wish that there were some wonderful place called the Land of Beginning Again, where all our mistakes and all our heartaches and all of our poor selfish grief could be dropped like a shabby old coat at the door and never be put on again." Can you relate to that verse of the poem at this time of beginnings? I can. And it is comforting to know that as Christians we have a chance to start over again each and every week, and really each and every day. We have a chance to start again. We can put aside all of the old coats that we've messed up during the past week and begin again. However, there are some things that we have to do before we can reach that place of new beginnings, that place of beginning again. In today's scripture, we find the story of a great military leader, Naaman, who got to begin life again. Naaman had influence with the king of Aram, or the king of Syria, Ben-Hadad, and was well respected by his peers, highly thought of by the soldiers he commanded. He is described as a valiant warrior, and as such would be seen as a great national hero. According to 1 Kings 22, verse 34, he had given victory to Syria or Aram by killing Ahab. Think about it. Naaman had power. He had money. He had popularity and seemed to be on top of the world, or so we would think. Ah, but there was one thing that he could not change. Just one minor problem. Well, not really minor. He was a leper. He seemed to have nearly everything, but because of his skin disease, he was unclean and people looked down on him. He was different. He probably tried to cover himself with as much clothing as he possibly could and as much armor as he possibly could, trying to hide his disease and keep people from looking at him as being different, as having something wrong. He wished for a place to begin again without this hindrance of leprosy. This mighty warrior was nearly worshipped when he was out of sight. But when he came around in public, people lowered their eyes and tried not to stare. He longed to be cleansed and to begin again. But for him, there seemed to be no hope, not with leprosy. Now, we are told in the text that the Arameans, though, had taken a young Hebrew girl as a slave. And she had become the servant of Naaman's wife. The Hebrew girl went to her mistress, Naaman's wife, and said, "You know, I know of someone, a great prophet, and if Naaman could only be there, he could be healed and cleansed and start over without this terrible disease." Naaman's wife loved him, and she wanted to do everything she could to see him cleansed, to see him be considered normal, to give him a chance to start again. So she went and told him what this girl had said. Now, we're not told whether Naaman was skeptical or not, but at some point, Naaman decided, "Well, I've tried everything else. I might as well try this." And so he went to Ben-Hadad, the king, and he told him about it and was granted permission to go to Israel, taking with him a letter to the king of Israel and taking with him presents. After all, he really wasn't the best friend of the Israelites. And so he goes taking presents. And he goes to the king of Israel, who immediately thinks that what's really about to happen is the king of Syria is trying to pick a fight with him. And then he'll walk in and walk right over him. And so he tears his clothes in good Jewish fashion, trying to show his piety and his righteousness. And he says, "Who do you think I am? I'm God that can cure this man? No. All you really want is to pick a fight. And I'm not going there. That dog won't hunt." He was afraid he would get embroiled in something that he couldn't win. We know word spread pretty quickly throughout the community. And Elisha, the prophet, the one about whom the servant girl was speaking, heard the word. He got the news that this man with leprosy had come looking for a cure and how upset the king of Israel had become. And so he sends word, send Naaman to me so that he will know that indeed there is a God in Israel who can do something, who can give him a way of beginning again. Naaman shows up with all his finery, his horses, his chariots. Here is a man of importance. Probably had his nose stuck up in the air as he rode in, looking around at the humble dwelling of Elisha. You know, Elisha doesn't even come out to see you. Elisha sends a servant out to Naaman. He says, look, all you have to do is go down here to the River Jordan and dip yourself in the water 7 times and you will be clean. Simple thing. But Naaman was insulted. He was still caught up in the middle of what was going wrong with him. He was still caught up in his own sense of self-importance. He wanted some great show so that everyone would know how wonderful he was. And he even said, you know, I thought that for me, he would come out here and call upon his God for me. That's how important he thought he was. And so he began to express contempt for the prophet. He expressed contempt for the land in which he stood. A land of new beginnings. In his own sense of self-importance, he threw a temper tantrum and turned and left in a rage. How dare he not come to me? How dare his God not look upon me? Doesn't he know who I am? So since the prophet didn't do what he wanted, he said, I'm going to take my ball and go home. As he's leaving in this rage, completely leaving behind that opportunity to be cleansed, some of his servants have a little more sense. And they go to him and approach him, maybe out of fear of what he would do to them in his rage when they got away. And they pose two interesting questions to him. They say, if the prophet had told you to go and do a nearly impossible task in order to be cleansed, wouldn't you have done everything you could, even died trying, because it was an impossible task? Why are you so angry and upset when he told you that all you have to do is something so simple and you can be clean? Naaman had even insulted the river and said, our rivers are cleaner. Naaman stops and rethinks what he is doing and goes to the Jordan River and washes himself completely. Note the number. 7 times. The number of wholeness. The number of completion. And the text states that his flesh was not only cleansed of leprosy, but it was restored like that of a young boy. Soft and supple and completely without spot or blemish. A new beginning. Are we ever like Naaman? Wishing to find a cure for what ails us. Wishing to find some way to begin again and overcome that which we are seeking to hide. Perhaps we have influence, respect, power, reputation, money. But there's little vitality, enthusiasm, or direction in our lives. Maybe we feel like a leper and attempt to cover our hurts and our scars. Maybe we long for a place of beginning again, a place of renewed life. Perhaps our own personal world is being rocked by uncertainty, by confusion, or pain. And maybe we are almost at the point of where we just want to quit. Maybe we wonder if God hears us. And in the seeming silence, we turn away angry, just like Naaman did. But you know, then again, maybe we're making it too hard, just like Naaman was. Maybe God is sending a message about the simplicity of beginning again, of starting over, of not quitting, because with God there is a land of beginning again. Of course, beginning again might also mean we have to turn loose of some of the crutches, some of the baggy clothing that we carry around and with which we attempt to cover ourselves. Like Naaman, we might need to give up some of the old habits, the old sins, the old mistakes, the old attitudes, and maybe even some old guilt. God has given us a place of beginning again. Not only within His love, but we as the church are supposed to be a safe place where cleansing can be celebrated. We as the church can be God's place of new beginnings, but only if we allow the newness to happen. Sometimes in the most simple of ways. For we are all in need of a land of beginning again. And need to be as Naaman, who washed 7 times and was restored completely, wholly cleansed, beginning again. I wish that there were some wonderful place called the land of beginning again where all our mistakes and all our heartaches and all our poor selfish grief could be dropped like a shabby old coat at the door and never be put on again. God gives us that place of beginning again in God's presence, with God's people, in God's world. Let's pray. Oh God, as we need to begin a new year of school, Sunday school, service, worship, help us to realize that there is a land of beginning again, a place of new beginnings where we can shed those things which scar us, which trouble us, which hold us back. Help us not only to be like Naaman eventually was, simply turning it to You, following Your instructions. And may we as Your church be a place of beginning again. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Our hymn of decision is hymn number 432, Only Trust Him. Excuse me, the number was misprinted. 183, thank you. 432 is tonight's hymn. 183, Only Trust Him. Our altar is open for any who would make a profession of faith, who would join this fellowship through transfer of letter or baptism or statement of faith, or for any who would renew themselves in this place of beginning again. We would welcome you. Hymn number 183, Only Trust Him.